Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Mr. Percival Fleming, Managing Director of Cressida Bendigo and Company, commences another chapter of Office Wife.
I like Jeff Pilgrim, I always have. I'm a man who backs his own judgment, and it's not often I make a mistake. But there's more than a possibility that I've been wrong about this particular chap. For some time now, there's been a general feeling running through the office that Jeff Pilgrim's formed some sort of an attachment with his secretary. And I consider it my duty as managing director to have these things looked into. Well, Pilgrim's off to the West tomorrow with his secretary, and he's supposed to be taking his wife, too. Now, at the last minute, I hear indirectly that his wife's not going. And since I happen to know this bad feeling between Marcia and the Bronson girl, and since I know Marcia personally, I think it's high time I had a word with Bendigo himself. Particularly after the scene Jeff made in my office yesterday afternoon.
You say Pilgrim offered to resign then and there, Percy?
Yes. Leaned over my desk and practically jumped down my throat.
No, that's not like him. He's generally an even-tempered chap. I've always found his manners excellent.
Oh, I tell you, Bendigo, you should have seen him. Red face, eyes sticking out, and absolutely shaking with rage.
Sounds to me as though he'd been under fire from all quarters. And you hauling him over the coals was the last straw.
That I'd like to know what we're going to do. What does Marcia say?
Well, I think we'd better leave Marcia out of it for the time being. Unless we have to make up our minds on the thing one way or the other. Is Pilgrim doing the wrong thing with this secretary of his, or isn't he? How are we going to find out for sure?
I've no idea. This sort of thing's out of my line.
Well, I hope you don't think I've spent my whole career fossicking about into office scandals.
Not at all, not at all.
I've seen marriages and careers wrecked on less. Now look here, Percy. I'd say the whole affair of Pilgrim and Stella Bronson was idle tattling, but for one instant. You remember when Waldron Hartley's changed their shipping arrangements to the States?
Yes.
The day before the contracts were signed, I saw a complete schedule worked out by Harry Palmer waiting on your desk.
Well, what about it?
That very same evening, Pilgrim came to light with a yarn about having to do that schedule, about working on it at Palmer's flat, with Palmer. Well, it turned out that Palmer wasn't at his flat. But the Bronson girl was.
How do you know?
Jeff told Marcia.
That doesn't sound like a philandering husband, does it?
No. No, Percy, it doesn't.
Oh, bless my soul, Bendigo. This business is becoming a minor Gordian knot. Let's cut it. Let's sack Stella Bronson or transfer her and get it over and done with.
Would you call that fair to Pilgrim? I don't want to lose the chap. And he's also married to my niece.
Why isn't she going to the West with Jeff?
I don't know. But I'm seeing her this afternoon, and I'll find out. You see, Percy, for some time I've been noticing a little thing here and a little thing there. And there's just a possibility that this Pilgrim affair might have something deeper behind it.
No. What's on your mind?
I don't know yet. Percy Fleming, my firm's no woodpile. But just the same, I'm beginning to think there's a nigger in it. A shrewd, scheming nigger in our woodpile, Percy Fleming. That's what I'm beginning to think.
Yes, I agree, Mr. May, wholeheartedly. All right, that's settled, then. I'll go into it further when I get back. Oh, they're a very good firm. You can put everything in their hands. Yes. Oh, and if anything pressing comes up in the next 2 weeks, will you get hold of Miles Hendricks? Miles Hendricks. All right. Goodbye, Mr. May. Oh, I don't understand. Some of these old codgers want you to do everything but sign their checks for them. Leave that typewriter alone for a minute and come here.
You must have things just about under control by now, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Sit down. Look, here, Stella, about our going away tomorrow.
No, I'm packed already.
I'm glad to hear it. I've decided that while we're away, we'll work normal hours, 9 to 5, and after that, you go your way.
You needn't finish, and I'll go mine. Can I get on with my typing now?
I'm serious. I mean it.
Well, all right, Jeff. What's the matter? Do you expect me to argue the point?
Now, don't get haughty. I'm only thinking of the last time we went away. I seem to remember a certain amount of unprofessional sentiment. Do you?
Why do you have to remind me of it?
Oh, but I'm not finished. I also recall copious floods of tears and an embrace I didn't ask for.
If you're trying to make me blush with shame, you're succeeding.
I'm sorry to beat the notion in with the club, Stella, but there isn't going to be any repetition.
You can say that again, Jeff Pilgrim. To get a kiss from me again, you'd have to beat me on the head with a club. Now can I get on with my work?
I know, you're telling yourself that a tenner a week shouldn't oblige you to listen to this sort of thing. But there's no sense in either of us hiding our heads in the sand.
And there's no sense in you going on and on with a lot of embarrassing guff.
Then you're straight on what this Western trip's going to consist of.
Yes, but completely, thank you. Jeff, it really wasn't necessary.
That, my dear Stella, is what you think. You weren't in Percy Fleming's office with me yesterday afternoon.
Did I miss anything?
You missed a scene and a half. And you very nearly lost your boss. I don't have to tell you what it was all about, do I?
I think I get the general idea.
Good. That's that. Now I'm going home to lunch, so if any calls come along that you can't stall, you know where to shunt them.
All right, Jeff.
And, Stella.
What?
Did I pitch it too strong?
Why, Mr. Pilgrim, don't tell me you're considering my feelings.
Just this once. I'm not worrying about your feelings.
Just this once. You don't know what they are.
When I get back, I'll have a bright answer for that remark. That's if I get it.
Sonny boy, you've already had it.
Look, Marcia, darling, I've only until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning before I leave. Do please tell me. Won't you change your mind and come too?
I've told you so often it's becoming a parrot cry. I want to go to the Eiffel's reception.
I'd rather you gave me no excuse at all than one as lame as that.
Do you want another chop?
No, no, thanks.
There's nothing wrong with them, is there?
No, they're fine.
That sounds as though they revolt you.
Your cooking doesn't revolt me, but your imbecilic excuse for not coming away does. For 2 pins, I'd wring the truth out of you.
Let's not be melodramatic.
Since the first day of our honeymoon, you've been having frenzies about Stella Bronson with the regularity of a grandfather clock. Now you suddenly decide we can go away together without as much as raising an eyebrow.
I thought you'd be pleased.
But it doesn't add up. Marcia, look at me.
What for?
If I ever find out you're doing this with some sort of a trick up your sleeve, we're through.
Jeff.
I mean it. I've put up with all sorts of nonsense from you because you're young, you've been spoilt, and I love you. But if this is some kind of a stunt, I'll walk out on you, Marcia, so help me. I'm going back to the office. See if you can't tell me the truth tonight.
I don't know what kind of a fool you take me for, Marcia, but you're up to something, and it's no good. Miss Tuppany at the reception. Who are these people, I fold, Marcia? But come on, speak up, Marcia. All right, something.
I want a cigarette.
I know you too well. You sulk when you've a guilty conscience. What are you putting over Jeff?
Nothing.
Hmm. All right, then, I give up. Now, Kia, I set my car to have the oil changed. Drive me home, will you?
All right. Car's out in the street.
So does it came in. Wish I could afford a car like that.
What are you trying to do?
Rip the tread off your tires? Just because you're up to some trickery. You're going to have to drive like a mad woman. Look, there's the green light. Really, Martha, look where you're going.
I could drive this car under ether. Do leave me alone, can't you?
Next time, I'll take a dash cab. Oh, no, look, Martha, you're doing 50.
I'd do more if that blockhead would get out of my way.
Well, don't come to me for 20 quid if you're hauled up and fined. Martha, what are you driving like this for? You haven't been drinking, have you?
I wish I had.
Now, look here, girl, I order you to slow down. Break your own neck if you must, but not mine. Slow down.
It's all right. Please leave me alone. As I squeeze past this truck...
Now look out, you little fool. Marcia. You all right, girl?
Oh, girls.
Officer. Officer, my niece is hurt. Get an ambulance. Now, come on. Come on, don't stand there staring, you people. Someone get you a telephone.
What's that? Where have they taken her? Yes, I know the place. How badly is she hurt? You're all right, but you can tell me, can't you? Well, you must have some idea. Look, I'm a husband. I insist on knowing. All right. I'll be there in 10 minutes. They can't tell me how badly she's hurt. Oh, my God.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife. Written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.